morning, good afternoon, good evening, Power Hour Nation, wherever you may be, from sea to shining sea, from the shores to the shores beyond the shores, we build you welcome to a better paradigm, a paradigm where we try to look at what really is happening in this world and what's really being done against us, the human collective, by some obscure, difficult group that manages this planet. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom. In the morning, it sounds like victory. There's no greater victory than Calvary, and no greater than Calvary than the Power Hour Calvary. We're going south, and we're picking up our great Australian Coast Watcher, Max Egan, to join our posse today and get into the dynamics of freedom, COVID, and the way they're coming against us. I was at the Toronto protest rally, and it was just so good. As I stepped out the door, I just heard people shouting as they're going down Yonge Street, the main street in Toronto, freedom, freedom. You could just hear it. And just like fresh air in the mountains, you know, it just fills your lungs, expands your soul, and you just go, okay, double time. Let's hit the street and see the crowds. And there were thousands of people all heading to Dundas Square, all happy and good spirits, and trying to do good work to the people standing around that are wearing masks or believing in all the crap and being seduced to, you know, what my other radio colleague Jack Mullen calls the euthanasia centers to get the jab. He was very disappointed to see so many turning out in his community for that nefarious deed. But we stand firm. We believe in what we believe. We know what we know, and we have complete and total confidence in that, where the other side is absolutely no knowledge, basically, no confidence. They're just being seduced by some of the darkest styles of propaganda and mind manipulation ever devised by, you know, degenerate people who hang out in back rooms somewhere to throw a monkey wrench into the human condition. And that's just a terrible thing. I was a little worried we might not have Max today, because when I looked at the Australian news and saw the terrible storms and flooding, I thought, you know, well, maybe it's hard to do a show in scuba gear or floating on a raft. But he joins us, and we bid you a Power Hour Nation welcome and thank you for all the fine work you do. Welcome aboard, Max.
Thanks for having me on, brother. It's good to be here again. Hopefully we won't have connection problems like we did last time. And yeah, it's pretty radical here with the weather, but I'm handling it. We're getting through. I've been flooded in for a few days and probably will be for a few more yet, but all good. We can still get through.
Oh, indeed, indeed. There's nothing more resourceful and resilient than the Australian character. And, you know, when you know, it's just so many of you are so hale, hearty, and just determined. And when you apply focus to a common problem that we have, the fact that our freedoms are being taken away, I wouldn't want to be standing in front of that storm when it's finally unleashed. And I think people are fed up with it, and they've had enough with it. As I looked through some of the news this morning about other protests in Bristol, like they, you know, pretty much took over a police station, they're on the roof. And one picture in there just really caught my eye, where two young girls standing in front of the stormtroopers, and they had no fear. It's gone. That is a tipping point.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening with so many people, George, is they're just losing the fear. They're realizing that this isn't going to go away. You know, 14 days to flatten the curve, and if we keep our heads down, everything will go back to normal. No, it won't. And a lot of people are now realizing that. I mean, they've changed the rules so many times, and what the politicians have done here, it's incredible. The politicians, the top 25 companies in Australia and the politicians as well have made like a 150% profit on anything they had in the last 12 months. The politicians in this country in the last 6 years, the Victorian politicians have tripled their wages in 6 years. And the politicians in Australia are the highest paid politicians in the world. And a lot of people have seen this. They keep giving us this line. It's we're all in this together. We're all in this together. We got to stay locked down. And meanwhile, they're eating caviar and flying all around the world and doing all the things that they want to do, because that's really what's going on. Is the ruling cacistocracy on this earth decided that they want the earth for themselves. They don't want us traveling around and cluttering up all the places that they want to visit and eating all of their food and visiting their mountains and their beaches and all of that sort of stuff. So they just want to keep all of us locked down in prison so they can enjoy the world. And a lot of people are seeing that now. A lot of people are realizing that, you know, you can't have different rules for each state and for each day. You've got the government out there allowing you to go and protest Black Lives Matter, but you can't go and protest your freedoms because you'll catch COVID if you protest your freedoms. But it's okay to go and protest this other stuff. It's okay to have meetings if they're government-approved meetings. No COVID at those meetings. But I don't know, if you're trying to speak out about anything the government might be doing or questioning the government or questioning the narrative, well, we've got to go and lock that down. And the police are just brutal, like absolutely brutal. I've actually got some documentation sent to me for some friends in Amsterdam who know some police who've sent me out some documents which basically say that the police are being told to use maximum brutality, to just really go out and really hurt people because they want to send a message to people not to protest. So that's why we're seeing three or four cops sitting on top of people and like kneeling on people's forearms with their elbow, with their full body weight while they're on the ground and stuff like this, like just stuff to hurt them, to do permanent damage to their muscles and their bones and just whatever, just to hurt them and to make sure they don't come back. So it's pretty brutal what we're seeing. But a lot of people are getting it. A lot of people are pushing back and a lot of people are saying that this just isn't right. And it's obviously not about health because, you know, the biggest threat we've got to our health at the moment seems to be coming from the police, you know?
Oh, indeed, indeed. One thing these lackluster politicians don't know, aside from history, is the laws of motion almost apply to issues like that. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So when you say send the police out to beat them into the ground, there are karmic laws that aren't written down in books for these idiots to read. You're not going to learn about it in law school. But if I was ever going to do a paper, if I was back in school doing history, I would do a karmic analysis of World War II. The Japanese were right. Everything they did was right for the Southeast Asia co-prosperity zone. We killed millions, raped millions, stole billions. We did it because we had the power. But then the karmic wave comes into play. And what power did you have in the radioactive wasteland that ended up to be a couple of your cities? Where were you in Dresden as you were defeating Russia and beating them into the ground? Because you have that right. You are some self-styled government of one sort or another. And you feel that the more power you put out, the more bones you break, the more bodies you shatter, it's not going to come back and get you. Well, let me assure you, it comes back, and sometimes with interest. And that's the, you know, why you have to walk almost like the martial artist on rice paper. You're strong and you have great ability, but you have to walk very, very softly so you don't break the paper, lest that karma comes back upon you, and it will. And I'd hate to see the day, but sometimes that's the only thing slow learners can acquire knowledge from, is they have to have that wave come back and flatten their curve once and for all.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to see that. There's so many people now that are waking up, and like with the rollout of this vaccine, this is really starting to turn the tide, I think, because we're seeing people breaking ranks in the military, in the police force, in the medical industry. You know, a lot of public servants, they're kind of mandating it for public servants here in Australia. If you're a public servant, you've got to have the vax. And a lot of people are sort of going, well, hang on a minute, I didn't sign up for this. We've got the chief medical officer here in Australia, Greg Hunt, openly said in a television interview that they don't know what the results of the vaccine will be. They don't know what the immunity will be like because this is the world's largest clinical trial that they're undergoing at the moment. So he said in his own words, this is a clinical trial. If you have this vaccine, you're signing up for a clinical trial of an unknown genetic agent. They don't know what it's going to do. It's mRNA. Any tests they've done in the wild with this have been absolutely horrendous, the results that they've had. So a lot of people are seeing this and they're going, well, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be a public servant to be experimented on. And so there's a lot of pushback. And you've seen the AstraZeneca vaccine has been banned in so many countries or, you know, or held back. They're questioning it. Not here in Australia. They're saying, oh, no, we'll just roll it all out. It's all good because that's just the way they think here. But there's been a lot of pushback, and I think there will continue to be a pushback. And I, you know, with all the bad stuff that's happening, I mean, as I've been saying to people, there's nothing to fear about the pending collapse of this slavery system. You know, it's only if you move into fear and you sit there and wait for them to come for you, and then you go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, and do what you're told. I mean, that's where it's going to come from. But I see this as a huge opportunity for human freedom, because the system has never been laid so bare, and so many people have been red-pilled in the last year. So many people know that this is a fraud and this is all corrupt. So many people, like nobody I know, is going to take the vaccine. Just in everyday life, like when I go out everywhere, I'm talking to everywhere I go, you know, to everybody. Go to the supermarket, I'll be talking to the checkout operator. I went to the post office, talk to those people. Go to the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, doesn't matter. Anybody I talk to, none of them want to get the vaccine, and none of them are going to get the vaccine. So I don't think they're going to get away with it. I think they've moved too hard, and there's just going to be too much of a major pushback. That's what I'm hoping to see anyway. And it's manifest now. I mean, it's taken a year or a little bit over a year, and we've been calling this out right since day one, that this is, as soon as I said 14 days to flatten the curve, we went, uh-oh, this isn't going to go away. And I did a talk in Brisbane on Saturday, actually, on the 20th of this month. It was 406 days since they said 14 days to flatten the curve. And I started the talk with that. Welcome to day 406 of 14 days to flatten the curve. Yeah, how are you all enjoying your free 1 year trial of absolute despotism? Because that's what this is. And so many people are getting it. So it's a good thing. I mean, and for those people who don't like multiculturalism and all the migrants we've had come to our countries, in many ways, a lot of the European migrants, it's good because these people have seen it before. And you're getting, like, you know, 70-year-old Hungarian women and Polish men and stuff going, hang on a minute, folks, we've seen this before, and you Australians need to wake up to what's happening, because this is why I left Poland, and this is why I left Hungary, and this is why I left somewhere else. I came here to be free, and now I'm seeing exactly what happened in my country happening here. So a lot of people are getting it, brother, and I think it's a really good sign. I think we have a really a real opportunity for a really positive future if enough people get on board and stand their ground, you know, hold the line.
Well, the big part is not to take the vaccine, because it is experimental. We're just in the early days of this, so it's not like they're putting Ferrari into your veins where you're just going to drop dead instantly. This is a slow time-release poison, and the effects may not come to bear for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but once you've put it in your body, you can't get it out. You know, even you got bit by a deadly viper, well, there's anti-venom, you know, yeah, you're going to roll and suffer for a while, but we can pull you out. With this, there is no out. Mm. It's there forever. And there's probably effects that they haven't even begun to speculate on that will come and haunt you with a vengeance. One that came under my purview was scientists at Sloan Kettering discover mRNA inactivates tumor-suppressing proteins. So in the next 5 to 10 years, if large segments of the people who get these things die of cancer, well, then, of course, they won't say it like it was COVID, where you have a death certificate and you have the cause of death. You know, maybe you fell out of an airplane, and then you have contributing factors. Your parachute didn't work, and you had a kidney stone, and you got your dead body, what little of it they found, tested positive for COVID. You died of COVID. Well, they're not going to do it in the reverse to say that you died of a vaccine injury. That will be covered up. It won't be revealed, and they'll say it was something else. And they juggle the books for this, but you will know the people you know that have taken this or submitted to this will bear these effects and walk around with them. Like, you know, it's probably, you have to wear a mask forever. You get Bell's palsy, because there'll be no explanation you can offer to say, well, what happened to your face? Well, I took the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah, one of the most popular radio hosts in America, I see on Technocracy News, Rush Limbaugh, they don't talk about it, but he took the vaccine and then he died shortly there. But he died of cancer. He didn't die from the vaccine. Oh, no, that was pure. He took that to heaven.
Yeah, it's incredible how they do that, isn't it? If any vaccine injuries, it's not the vaccine, but anything, you know, prior to that, it was always COVID. It's classic doublespeak. But there's been a lot of talk about how this mRNA vaccine is going to alter people's immune system. You'll be producing antibodies for COVID, whatever that is, if they've even identified it, but then you won't be producing antibodies for anything else. So it's basically going to switch people's immune system off. I mean, a lot of doctors are saying. But the thing is, I mean, with mRNA, when you start thinking about transhumanism and what they want to do with the human race, with mRNA, I mean, you can program it to do anything. RNA is what turns a caterpillar into a butterfly. So you could do virtually anything with the human race. And if you wanted to target certain people, you know, they've been doing these DNA swabs, these COVID tests that they call them, which aren't tests, these PCR swabs. This is DNA harvesting. It's DNA database. They could tailor a particular virus for a particular person, or perhaps they could even activate the DNA in your body through the RNA that they've put in there to perform whatever action they want to by simply targeting you with a specific frequency, simply tailor-made for you because they've got your genetic profile. You know, and they've done experiments like where they can send voices to people's heads. Like they've done even TED Talks where they've done it at TED Talks and they've had someone can hear a voice whispering in his left ear, but no one else can hear it. The person next to him can't hear it. You know, so they can do all sorts of stuff. They can target people. And once they've got you genetically profiled, well, if you've got RNA in your body and they hit you with any number of millions of frequencies that they've got to choose from with the 5G system, they could, you know, conceivably target individuals personally for whatever thing they want. I mean, they could make you sick. They could control your behavior. Even when you look at Klaus Schwab, some of the talks that he's done, some of the things he's put forth from the World Economic Forum, he's saying we can actually rewrite people's memories with RNA. So, you know, you can restructure people's brains. You can do all sorts of things with this. You could have a whole bunch of people who don't even remember that they were ever free. You know, the sky's the limit with this stuff because they're putting a back door into your system that can be programmed with frequency. So, you know, people who say they know what they're going to do, I mean, the sky's the limit. I don't even think they know what all the possibilities of this are. And when you look at, like, the Georgia Guidestones, they only expect, well, they only want 500 million people to be on Earth. So they're fully expecting 75 to 90% of people to die through this. And they don't really care. They just want the ones that are going to take to the vaccine, the ones that are going to take to this genetic alteration, and then they've got, it's like human Play-Doh. They can turn the human race into whatever they want. And, of course, most people will probably die during the experimental process, but they don't really care about that. They just want whatever product they've got left at the end that they can control. And that's what they're doing. And when you look at the androgenization of the human race, there was a thing that was in the paper the other day that I had on a recent report, how they've got skin cells, and they've actually created a living embryo out of skin cells. They grew it for 11 days. It was a functioning embryo. So they don't even need sperm and eggs anymore. They're developing ectogenesis chambers. You'll be able to get your skin cells, create your embryo, put it in an ectogenesis chamber, grow this human to whatever you want. Probably non-sexual, androgynous, whatever. And then they've got new plans coming forth where they can feed them insects. We can eat mealworm burgers and cricket burgers. And so they want to create this androgynous subhuman race that's grown in a pod and becomes a worker for them, and they feed it insects. And that's it. And they're even talking about recycling it, a circular diet, so that because the insects can live off food waste. Well, we produce a lot of food waste. So basically they get human excrement, feed it to the insects, and then we eat the insects. Then they feed our excrement back to the insects. So it's this cycling thing that they want to do for the human race. Perfectly efficient, and it leaves all of the resources of the world for them. So they eat the nice food and the grapes and the meat and the whatever they want to eat. And we just are subhuman and we just eat insects that are fed on our own excrement. That's what they want to do. That's their plans. And that's their new normal that they want to bring in. Because, oh, we've got to do this for global warming. It's going to be good for the environment. And insects are very nutritious and, you know, all the stuff they're selling. I mean, what they've done to the human race is absolutely incredible, especially when you start looking back at history and things like Tartaria and what we really had, the free energy we had, the incredible structures, the incredible civilization that we had here, and how they're reducing us to this non-human, manufactured, pod-grown, androgynous, insect-eating slave. That's what they're doing to the human race. It's beyond sick. There aren't even words to describe the level of evil that these people are perpetrating against the human race. And I think a lot of people are saying that, and that's why they've got to push back, because this is the most important time. We're at an absolutely pivotal point in history, perhaps the most pivotal point in history that we've ever seen. It's the end of the world as we know it. Even if we were to pull down all the criminals and traitors that exist now, well, too many people have been red-pilled. It's never going to go back to what it was. So we're on the verge of a new world. We've just got to be aware of where we're being led and what we have the capability of actually creating if we become aware of it.
Oh, indeed. I came across a book written by Yuval Noah Harari, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century, from 2018. And a little quote that came to me said, instead of globalization resulting in global unity, we might actually result in speciation, the divergence of mankind into different species. As the upper caste congregates inside a self-proclaimed civilization and builds walls and moats to separate it from the hordes of barbarians outside, not just entire classes, but entire countries and continents might become irrelevant. Fortifications guarded by drones and robots might separate the self-proclaimed civilized zone where cyborgs fight one another with logic bombs from the barbarian lands where feral humans fight one another with machetes and Kalashnikovs. Mad Max sounds like a step up, really, because at least you get a nice vehicle to drive across the dunes. But this level of just psychotic debauchery to take, you know, basically a glowing civilization that we have experienced in our lives, turn it completely upside down into the most dysfunctional, disunified state that you could ever imagine is beyond belief. And we have voted to put people in power like this. We finance with our investments corporations that lead us into this trail, fellow feral human. And this is, you know, just monstrous, barbaric, beyond any stretch of the imagination. And in the imagination zone, I guess we're coming up for a break, and we'll continue on the other side. I'm George Freund from Canada with Max Egan from Australia in a Hemispheric Union broadcast to enlighten your mind while you can. Thanks for coming out.
Each and every one of you are very special to us here at the Power Hour, which is why we offer this special for you. Now through this Sunday, 10% off all Good Health Naturally products at thepowermall.com. That's right, all Good Health Naturally products are 10% off all week long. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or online at our newly designed thepowermall.com store. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
I've been taking the curcumin for so many years. I'm up there in age, and I don't have any aches or pain. I haven't taken aspirin or anything of that nature for so many years. If I get a little nagging and I feel maybe a headache's coming on, I'll take about 5 or 6 curcumin, and it's gone. Pain is inflammation. I have always found that if I just take 5 or 6 curcumin, it'll blow it away within 15 minutes.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Now more than ever, we need your support. Jay's standing by to take your call. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We know you like savings, and we know you like Strauss. Strauss Natural Products, 10% off this entire week. From now through this Sunday, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get a 10% discount on all our Strauss products. Right now through the end of the week or online at thepowermall.com. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry. Sale ends this Sunday.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada. Joining us in the next segment, Max Egan from Australia. Well, we're going to talk about the powers and machinations of evil and how they are working overtime to divide us, conquer us, and turn us into something more malleable. But dictators have tried this all through history, and it's never really worked out that well for them. At first, in the beginning, when you don't understand what you're dealing with or why, you know, you can take a good hammering. But they always offer that little carrot on the other side of the universe that you can reach for, and everything's going to be fine. And they do that with COVID, too. I was just going to mention to Max when we were off air about how a lot of people at work are just zombified into this. They're lining up like robots to take this inoculation of whatever it is, and they just can't say no. And maybe there's a reason they can't say no. Maybe the voices are already in their head telling them what to do, and they can't form rational thoughts. And I just don't have a large enough collection of nanobots to defeat the neurons that were there before. And maybe that's part of the problem between the two groups, is some of us are either immune to or not under the control of what they want us to be under the control of. But slowly that's changing. When I read Yuval's little thing, it reminded me of, you know, a classic Star Trek episode, Season 3, Episode 21, The Cloud Minders, where, you know, all the beautiful people live in Stratos, I believe it was called, in the clouds. And the rest of us poor feral humans were down on the bottom to be maligned. And the titanic struggle was to get them to recognize that we were all born of the same thing until we come up to our two creatures that Max was describing, which will very much be creatures. You can see it in the language, like something I heard last week. California school boards want to get rid of the word mother and father. Well, that's why it's a preparatory stage. They already know where they're going. There aren't going to be any mothers and fathers anymore. One of our speakers with David Icke, Celeste Solem, was saying that there'll be no more human births after 2025. That's it. Kaputsky. And everything that you know is over.
That's what I was showing us with that discovery they said they made at Monash University last week, where they said they could create embryos out of skin cells. Apparently, they've actually been doing this since about 2015. And, you know, they always give us little bits just to program us, like the non-specific pronouns for genders, removing all gender programs. No, can't refer to mother and father or boy and girl or any of this because they want the human race to be androgynous. You won't have parents, like you say. It'll be too toxic. Oh, my God, we can't have people having sex and intercourse and stuff. I mean, that would be fluid transfer, people will be touching each other. They may get COVID. I mean, we're all disease bags and germ bags. We can't go touching people anymore. You know, so you can see where they're taking it. And pretty freaky. It really is freaky what they're doing. And they're removing everything that it means to be human from humanity. And so that's why I think there's going to be such a big pushback because, you know, a lot of people aren't going to want to do this. And a lot of people are going to see that it's a really serious time. It's a really serious issue. It's the most pivotal point in human history. It really is. So it's going to be up to us whether we go along with this. And the way to stop it really is to put down the technology. That's what I've been saying to people for so many years. I mean, there's so many people that you want to point the finger at, you know, the Rothschilds, the Jesuits, the Jews, whoever you want to point the finger at. Well, you could remove all those people. You could remove every Jew from the earth. You could remove every Jesuit, remove all the Freemasons, remove all the people who you think is them. But if we're still using this tech and we're still going into this smart grid and still giving our souls away to AI, then we're going to end up in the same place. You know, we've really got to look at our daily actions and what we're doing and put some of this stuff down and realize that our governments aren't working for us. They've long since ceased the path of freedom. They've stopped working for us a long time ago. They're working for themselves now. I said in my very first film, The Big Picture, back in 2008, that World War III has already started. It's a war of depopulation and is being waged by the governments of the world against the people of the world because all the governments of the world work together as one multinational, multigenerational criminal organization masquerading as a system of governments and nations, and they intend to depopulate the world and then transhumanize the rest of us that are here. And that's what's happening. So we've got to push back. It's time for the people to rally up and express a loss of confidence in our government's ability to govern and simply dismiss these people and have them replaced by somebody of some form of integrity that can help lead us back to a point of freedom. But it's going to take a massive groundswell of people to do that and to have that focus, to not just go out there in these protests and shaking your fist at the government and burning police cars and all this sort of stuff doesn't achieve anything. You know, burning police cars and rioting and violence, it just plays into their hands and they say, well, we need more men in turtle outfits and we need more batons and we need more police, we need more drones, we need more, you know. So we could stay home and simply stop complying with this whole thing. If everybody threw away their smartphones, that would change everything. But people won't do that. I say, I need it for this, I need it for that. Well, hang on, they weren't invented 10 years ago. You didn't need them then. So why do people need them now? You know, Androids weren't invented until about 10 or 12 years ago. Before that, we had a normal world. And it's the smart tech that's leading us into this. And I'd say the people you can't wake up are the people that are like, totally hooked on dopamine, totally programmed by this tech, and very likely people who've had previous vaccines in their lives because God knows what this has done to them as well. And there's always the whole concept of non-playing characters as well. People who are already in the mainframe, people that you'll never ever wake up because they have no soul. They're not really human. They're just like the corn flour in the stew. They're just there to bulk it up. And really it's about what the real people do and where we put our perspective. So, you know, I think we're at a really pivotal time, brother. We're at a really, really pivotal time. And we've got to stop pointing the finger at everybody else and look at ourselves. I mean, sure, there will maybe come a time for violence, but that's only really when it comes to you. And that would be counter-violence. But we've really got to start looking at ourselves and what our actions are, what our everyday activities are, what the tech is that we're using, how we're interacting with people, and think about what changes we can make in our own lives and how we can lead by example in our own lives. And we don't need everybody to do it because, you know, most of the sheeple will follow. But if the ones who are awake can get some sort of focus, well, we could bring about some really positive change. So I haven't given up hope yet. I mean, we're in a pretty desperate situation, but I haven't given up hope yet. The worst thing people could do is move into fear. What they've got to do is look within and discover the power that they really have. because that's what all this whole thing has been about right from the beginning, is a loss of that self, a loss of that self-knowledge, a loss of that power. We give it away all the time. And even when things get as desperate as they are now, we're going, well, this is terrible. Someone should fix it. But we're not prepared to fix it ourselves, and not prepared to change how we interact with the world ourselves in our everyday life. And I think that's what's going to bring about the change.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Probably one of the best training films for that that can apply to all ages is The Wizard of Oz. You have everything. Mm. They just tell you you don't. So you need the wizard to control your destiny. But when you discover that you have a brain, that you have intelligence and courage, you can unmask the wizard and see what he is. Just some sort of Mandarin with absolutely nothing behind him except a bag of tricks. And once you expose that, you can take your power back. And then you can go down the yellow brick road to Oz and everything will be fine. It's just getting over that. And that's how they do it against us. I've been trying for a long time to mention things about these phones because I just see it, you know, as a trap. Without the greatest trap the human race has ever been lured into, and, you know, because we're an American show, it just said, you know, throw them up in the air and blast them with your shotgun when you go trap shooting is the best thing you can do with the damn things, because they're there to enslave your soul. And Elon Musk says that very, very clearly, and I played a clip from him saying that in a previous show, that if you've got an iPhone, you're already a cyborg, because they have the power through that phone.
Yeah, I've been telling people this for years, throw away your smartphone. I mean, it's not only is it spying on you and everything you do, I mean, it's got a barometer in there, so it knows when you're going up and down stairs. It knows when someone gets in the car with you. It knows what your heart rate is. It listens to everything you do. It tracks you everywhere you go. And it's the dopamine addiction. Every time people, you know, click a little icon, it releases dopamine in their brain. They get a little thrill out of it. This is why people check their phones 300 times a day on average, even if they haven't got any phone calls or any messages coming in. They just pick it up and they just tap around on it and do something on it, because it's dopamine addiction. And that's how they've got us in. So they've tried to create these tyrannies and these dictatorships before, but they've never really been able to find a way into the human mechanism, which is what they've managed to do with this phone. It's created that interface. You know, our natural need to be social, and with the powers that I think we even have of telepathy and things we used to be able to do, we took to phones like a fish to water, the internet like a fish to water. But the whole thing has been a fishing exercise, and it's been a trap. And that's how they intend to get us, and that's where they're leading us into. So, yeah, it's incredibly important that people get rid of these things. If they were to get rid of their smartphone, I mean, all the QR codes you've got to scan everywhere, all the contact tracing, all track and trace, all this stuff they're doing. Imagine if everybody just threw away their phones. What would the government do? What could they possibly do? What, make it a law that you have to have a phone? Well, hang on, that's not what we employ you to do. You know, we actually employ you guys to manage our infrastructure for us in a responsible manner. And now you're bringing in all this track and trace and all this stuff you got to do. No. You know, the biggest threat that the people face at the moment is coming from the government rather than the virus. The virus is the media. The rubbish that the media is spreading to people, that's the virus. So, you know, I think a lot of people have seen it, but I can't find a way out if people don't throw away this tech, because that is... that's the problem, you know. While we're arguing about the government and we're worried about the vaccines and we're worried about all this stuff, which is all, you know, things that we need to be concerned about, people are still using the tech that is leading them directly into the grid. And they're not noticing all the other stuff. I mean, they're being backed into a corner with the food shortages that are coming and the homelessness that's coming. The huge housing bubble is about to burst in the United States. I mean, everyone's been receiving stimulus checks for the last year. So no one's really worried about getting back on with their business and, you know, really trying to prepare for the future and, you know, get some sort of security. I mean, I've been putting it out there, telling people to grow gardens and get yourself to high ground, get prepared for what's coming. I've been telling people this for the last year, but a lot of people haven't. A lot of people have just been getting stimulus checks and things. And now those checks are going to stop and all their house payments are going to start again, and they're not going to have the money to pay them. They've estimated that something like 11 million people are going to become homeless in the United States over the next 12 months. So then you'll have to have your universal basic income. And, of course, you'll have to get your inoculation in order to get your universal basic income. So, yeah, you know, you can see where they're leading it. But none of it could work if we got rid of the smart grid and we stopped using the smart grid and put down the tech. So that's the problem, and it's always been a problem. When you look at transhumanism and where they really want to take us, I mean, everything that's happening now, I actually predicted it all in my 2012 film, Transformation. And people told me I was going to ride out on a limb with that film, but it's all here now, and that's where we're going. Pretty freaky stuff. But like I say, I mean, great opportunity as well. I mean, it's the writing's on the wall now. It's not conspiracy theory anymore. I'm getting letters from people who used to, you know, attack me a couple of years ago and tell me I was a nutcase. Now they go, oh my God, you were right in everything you said. So that's a very positive sign. You know, a lot of people are getting it, brother.
Well, that's part of being the Coast Watcher, the lookout. You know, we take the initiative to go iceberg dead ahead, sir. Whether you listen to it or not is up to you. And when you crash, that's up to you too. But we do call it out, and as soon as I've learned where they're going and how they're going, you know, I just devoted my life to that. I just had to hear George Bush say the world, new world order, and I'm like, holy smokes, you know, we're into it. And with every few years, you just see a new machination coming along. You know, whether I guess the big wake up time for me was back in the Oklahoma City days with that bombing, Ruby Ridge, Waco, and, you know, you see tanks moving in on a building in the United States, and you're going like, you know, Dorothy, this isn't Kansas anymore. There's something seriously wrong. But at least it made a point to find out what was wrong and to see how they're lying to us and how they manipulate facts and data and how basically corporate media has just become a gigantic monster to swallow us, just like we were in a Jules Verne novel or something. We have to be, you know, the force to resist it enveloping us and swallowing us and taking us to the brainy deep. And you do that by disconnecting a lot of that media. That was the great line in the movie Network when Howard Beale does his speech talking about that sort of media. Turn it off right in the middle of the sentence they're speaking to you. And by and large, I do. And I'm, you know, people talk to me about major newscasters or programs. I don't know who they're talking about, because I haven't watched any of that stuff in so long, I don't even remember. As soon as I hear COVID junk on any kind of radio station, I turn it off immediately or switch to another channel, because, you know, it's all lies. And it's how much poison do you want to take in your body? Well, you don't take any. You know, so it's got the skull and crossbones on it. And today is skull and crossbones day, too.
It's all such programming, and they've been doing it for years. I mean, that's what television was all about. I've been telling people for years, television is the biggest mind control tool that was ever invented. And it isn't just that the news is giving you disinformation. There's programming in every single show. I mean, look at the amount of cop shows on TV. And they're always portrayed as the New York's finest or LA's finest or whatever, you know, the finest, you know, and all of the brutality, you know, you can watch, you know, like Bad Boys or whatever, and you get Will Smith and the other guy go in there and they'll terrorize some guy in a shop, and they'll do it in a comical way. So people get a laugh out of the police going and brutalizing people. And they become used to it. They become used to all this sort of stuff. Things like Dirty Harry, you know, like you got the violent cops just shooting people for no reason, and everyone thinks he's a hero. All this type of programming. There's so many cop shows on TV where we're taught that these are there to protect and serve, and they're the finest we've got in our city. And they're not. They're thugs. They're a crime gang. You know, basically, they're just government-sponsored domestic terrorists these days carrying out the most atrocious activities against people. But it's all been programming, the whole lot. And the TV teaches you what to think. Not how to think. Teaches you what to think. That's why there's two news anchors. Because I always have that little comment and little looks that they give each other, which will tell you what you think about the last news story. Very clever with all their neuro-linguistic programming and everything they do. And when you talk to most people and you ask them about anything, even when you're working and you have lunch break and you're sitting with people, most people's conversations are about whatever it was they saw on the TV the day before or whatever it was they read in the newspaper the day before. It's crazy. You know, so people... It's like Howard Beale said, you know, you think like the tube, you act like the tube, you even dress like the tube. You know, for God's sake, wake up, people. It's mass madness. And that's what it is. It's mass hypnosis. That's the problem with the world. 90% of the world are hypnotized by the television, and they don't even know it. It's funky, isn't it? It really is. And I don't own a TV. I've never owned a TV. I haven't had one in my house since I got divorced. My wife had one, but that was 25 years ago. So yeah, I've never owned a TV. I wouldn't even know who the new pop stars or movie stars or I don't know who any of them are.
Oh, exactly. It's just something you leave the reservation and you go out independently. And most people I know that follow TV news or the newspapers, it's like you say, you just see them as they come along after they get a newspaper. That's their thought control mechanism for the day, whatever it told them to say or to think. And I'm usually on the opposite side. So sometimes, they're just aghast at, like, you don't believe this? You don't think this is right? You challenge this, you challenge that? And I go, well, that's just basic, 101 for propaganda is they're controlling your mind. You have to put everything under the light and examine it to see, I recommend using Plato's laws of logic. Are there inconsistencies? When you find inconsistencies, you're right. And the TV is just the giant allegory of Plato's cave. They show lights on the cave wall, and you believe everything is there from the shadows from the fire, and you have no idea you're in a cave until you actually stumble outside and see the world. And then wow, there's much more to this than I was ever told or could ever have contemplated. And, that's why I see the zombies, going for their injection. And you can't tell them any different because the great God TV told them so. And in a way, you're praying in front of it.
it's freaky to see, isn't it? It's freaky to see just how many people... Like, that saying just kind of amazed me through this. How many people actually swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker? And even some of the people that I know that were truthers and stuff, back in the beginning, a lot of these people actually fell for it. And I'm going, hang on. Like, you're awake, aren't you? Why would you believe this? And, oh, yeah, but it's a virus. And I'm going, no. But I was surprised. And big, strong men, like bikers and stuff, out there with their little masks on and running around scared of this little invisible germ they can't see. I mean, it's freaky. It's absolutely freaky. I think even the ruling cacistocracy is probably a little bit surprised at how easily they got away with this fraud. Because it's such a fraud, and it's so provably a fraud. And like I said, I mean, I can talk to lady in the spectacle shop and the post office lady and the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker, they all know it's a fraud. How come intelligent people out there are still going along with this? It's unreal. And there was an article that I pointed out recently on one of my shows back in 2003 when SARS was sweeping the world. And there was articles here in the newspaper about people who were cashing in on masks, claiming masks could protect you from SARS. And they were fining them $22,000 for claiming that. And if you're a business, $110,000. You can't tell people that masks will protect them from this virus because masks don't protect you from things like that. And not only that, but wearing a mask for longer than 20 minutes can become dangerous to your health because moisture droplets gather in a mask and you start breathing in your own bacterial load. This was in the Herald Sun newspaper in 2003. So what's changed in the last 13 years? How can they be promoting masks and stuff now? How can people have got these incredibly short memories? It's unreal. It's like we're living in a madhouse. So, I mean, in a way, it's kind of fun. You're just kind of watching a freak show. You don't even need to pay money to go to the circus anymore, brother. You just got to go outside and look around.
Oh, indeed. And it's just like the blind terror of people. I was in an elevator the other day, and, I've been around a lot of the people at work for forever. And I don't wear a mask for health reasons, and I refuse. And, you walk by me every day. I handle a lot of the things you are going to handle, and you have no fear. So the car stops, and this woman goes to get on and then sees me in there, and the look on her face was like I was from, one of these horror films. I was standing there naked with a knife in my hand dripping blood. That was the kind of reaction she had. And you're going like, woman, get a grip on yourself. If there was anything, you'd be dead already, and so would I. There's nothing there. It's just put in your brain to make you fearful.
Yeah, it's freaky, isn't it? It's absolutely freaky. I mean, I've seen similar things. When I've gotten on an elevator in Brisbane the other day, people were sitting in there, standing on their X, And I just walked in and we just walked in and took over the elevator, and this family freaked out because we weren't standing on our spots, you know. And I didn't even understand what they were on about. I didn't even notice there were X's on the floor. But this whole family got off the elevator because we'd walked on, and there was more than four people in the elevator. So it's
crazy. Only allow two.
Crazy.
And I guess you got spread eagle the wall each, you know, to protect the ones. And sometimes, you know, I tease people about, you know, if this was real, then, you know, I got two cloth masks over my rear end and you got one over your mouth. But if I ate the right bean burrito combination, ain't nothing going to save you. So much for your mask.
That's the thing. Exactly. It won't stop that, but it'll stop a virus. Right.
Yep. And, you know, I guess that's the joke of it all, but it could be a natural selection process where the stupid will kill themselves off and we'll inherit the earth after that because, you know, we kept our wits about us. And it's a terrible, terrible situation because many of the people I know that are falling victim to this, I'll miss them. I really will. I've enjoyed their company for many, many long years. You know, especially some of the older people. Now that I'm older, it's not like I got father figures much anymore, but the couple of few that are around, I'll miss them. I really will. Okay, looks like we're coming up to the break again. If Max wants to stay a little bit more, I know, you know, he's in another time zone and it's the wee hours. That's fine and dandy. We have James Harp to join us too from Toronto. And if you're of a mind, Max, you can stay a little bit longer and play with us. Thanks for coming out.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.